Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:24 Pacific Summer Time, and today is July 9th. Well, China today was quite weak, down 1.5% on the Hang Seng and a similar margin on the Shanghai A shares. The Japanese market was relatively unchanged, and well, the ASX was followed the Chinese market. It was down about 1%. Well, Narendra Modi's first budget is coming up, and well, investors are lightening their positions in advance of that. So you had a key day reversal on India yesterday. You had a little bit of follow through in here today. Well, that's at least a peak of short term significance, potentially near term, and we might be at the beginning of at least a consolidation of what has been a remarkably powerful advance in the aftermath of Modi's landslide victory. Well, when one thinks about potentially groundbreaking or election results that could have a marked influence on markets, then Indonesia went to the polls today, and well, it's looking increasingly likely that Mr. Widodo is likely to be the next prime minister. The next person in charge. Well, that generally would suggest that people in Asia are looking towards a market-friendly administrations, that people looked at what's happening in India and the kind of enthusiasm has spilled over into Indonesia. Well, that's all really quite positive. Well, when you look at a number of the currencies in the ASEAN region in particular, well, they had declined really quite markedly in the latter half of last year, but they found support in the first quarter of this year. The Indonesian rupiah is a prime example of that. It had fallen to test the lower side of what has been it's almost a 14-year range. Well, that 12,000 rupee level to the dollar represents an area of support, and it continues to firm from that level. Well, that's been certainly a tailwind for the stock market, and it's right back up to test its highs. Well, we could see some consolidation here, but it would really depend on just how large the majority is for the new market-friendly government. Well, in Europe today, the majority of markets were in positive territory, but not by very much. I think the best performer was the Italian index. It was up about 0.9%. The FTSE was down a bit, about 0.33%. Well, what we're seeing in Europe is that the financial sector is, it's been targeted left, right and centre for pretty nefarious activities in contravening global sanctions against some pretty shady governments, and they're being fined for that, and those fines are pretty weighty, particularly from the US. Well, an additional factor, of course, is that the deposit rate that the ECB is willing to pay them for the deposits that they lodge with them has been reduced to a negative number. Well, that's not particularly good news for the banking sector either. Well, reanimation of the the ECB told us that they had stopped sanitizing the amount of money that they were adding to the market, but there isn't any real evidence of that in the size of its balance sheet, which has continued to contract. Well, that could also be at least part of the reason that you've had this sharper pullback in Europe than you've had in the US, where the Fed's balance sheet continues to expand. Well, the Nasdaq is pushing up here to test the 4,000 area. The S&P 500 is pushing back up to test the 2,000 area, having been a bit weaker yesterday. And, the Dow Jones was stronger again in here today by about 0.5%. So, well, are we in the mature stages of a cyclical bull market? Well, that's quite likely, but is there any real evidence that that medium-term bull market has peaked? Well, there isn't just yet. So, that would say that we're at an interesting period. We're in the sweet spot between when interest rates begin to rise and when the liquidity factor that starts to unwind, but right now this is probably the most benign environment you could have for stock markets generally. and that's helping to fuel the advance. Well, the other interesting thing here is in precious metals. Well, gold was stronger today by about $11 and silver by 21 cents. Well, silver is ranging here in the region of the 200-day moving average. And it's in this area where you have this progression of lower rally highs that has been in evidence now for nearly 2 years. If we can pull away from this area, well, then we can conclude that demand has returned to dominance beyond the short term. Well, up 21 cents in here today. You can probably get a little bit more enthused about that conclusion, but it really would need to improve on it and hold it before we can begin to conclude that silver has is going to sustain this rally. Well, gold pulling away from the 1300 area is also pretty positive. Well, gold has been ranging for more than a year between about $1,200 and $1,400, and it continues to push back up towards the upper side of that range. Well, the fact that it has held the advance from earlier in the year suggests that a higher reaction low is now in place. Well, that's the beginnings of a foundation for an uptrend. Well, I wouldn't expect any major advances, but we can anticipate that higher levels can be sustained for longer rather than the pretty disappointing activity that we've had over the last year and a half for gold. Well, with stock markets reasonably steady, the bond markets have also been steady, and the 10-year was stronger by an additional 7 ticks in here today. Well, people are continuing to look at the 10-year as a a safe haven, but the yield continues to be pretty range bound, and well, we don't know exactly when yields are going to go higher, but the balance of probabilities is that the lows are in, that we're not going to see the lows in the yield taken out, the lows from a couple of years ago taken out anytime soon. Well, when you look at currencies, the pound continues to hold the advance above 170 and has been really quite steady. The euro is holding here around the 136 area. Well, that hasn't rallied by nearly the same extent as anything else. The Europeans really do need a weaker currency. And, we're not going to see, they don't want a rout, but neither do they want to see the 140 area taken out either. So, the euro isn't likely to be any kind of a big mover anytime soon. Well, when one looks at the Aussie dollar, and then you look at it relative to the pound, where the pound is appreciating and the RBA the Aussie dollar has been reasonably firm, but the RBA certainly doesn't want a strong currency. Well, then you're presented with a pretty consistent uptrend for the pound. And it was one of the most depressed currencies relative to the Aussie dollar over the last few years. It had halved. So there is really quite a lot of potential for the pound to rally against some of the currencies that it had been particularly weak against. Well, I think with that, I will conclude, I guess, with an additional word on oil. Well, WTI was weaker today by an additional dollar. Well, that would suggest now that the entire risk premium that had been put into the price because of the ISIS incursion in Iraq has been totally unwound. Well, what we would really need to see is a further easing of geopolitical tensions for the price to fall very much further. But what it is looking like on Brent is that you have a failed upside break, and that we could potentially go a little bit lower in here, that it's at 108 right now, and it could possibly get down to about 105. Well, when you get these very tight ranges and you get and the volatility decreases, well, then the eventual breakout is likely to be powerful. Well, if it can't go up, it might go down. When you get these failed upside breaks, you might go down and test the lower side of the underlying range. Well, that for Brent is around the $104, $105 area. And with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.